Welcome to the Primrose Lane podcast, where we've been exploring the actual paranormal events that inspired the making of the film, Primrose Lane, and the continuing series, The Passage. I'm the filmmaker, Kathleen Davison, and I'm joined here with my co-host for this podcast series, paranormal specialist Pamela Beatty. Hi, Pamela.
Hello. Good afternoon.
And if you're just joining us, we want to tell you, stop right there. Go back to the beginning. If you go to the Primrose Lane movie Facebook page and you look at the most recent podcast post, in the comments section, you'll see links for all of the previous podcasts. Please watch them in order. We're doing a serial story here, and we don't want to blow anything for you. In this episode, we have a very special guest. We are joined by the lovely Sherry Belafonte. Hello, Sherry.
Hello.
Sherry's calling into studio with us today, and Sherry plays Dr. Hunt in the film. Dr. Hunt is extremely tapped in to the other side, for one thing, and the character was inspired by an actual woman who in real life is a chiropractor, who was one of the first people, aside from my son, who told me that there were holes in the house and things could come through. She was the next person to validate that theory when I went to her for treatment for just, you know, a back ailment. And she told me that there's a portal above the house, and we've discussed this in previous episodes. Now, Sherry plays this character. Sherry, coming into the role, is there anything you want to share about the way you attached to the character? Let's start there. Anything that resonated with you personally, anything?
Well, first of all, you have to understand, when Kat calls me to come play with her, it's always going to be a good time. I've been in front of the camera and behind the camera working with Kathleen, so each time it's been a joy to work with her. So when she pitched the idea to me to come be her Steadicam operator, and I wasn't available to do that, she said, well, come play for a couple of days playing this character. And I thought, well, this could be fun, because I've had certain poltergeists in my past life, and growing up as a child that's got Native American blood coursing all over her body, she's always feeling other things from the other side of the planet and the other side of the world, and sometimes on the other side of the universe. But, you know, it seemed like a cool, groovy, fun time. And then when you walk into Kat's house, you go, all right, this is going to be a ride.
So. Well, yeah, let's talk about that for a second. One of the things that some of our previous guests have discussed, both the paranormal investigators and cast members, is just about their impression when they first approached the house. Do you want to share with us, did you get any vibe when you first showed up, or was it just a house?
Well, you know, when you look at a house that you already know has history in it, you know, it's one of the oldest houses that's been in this California territory since, I don't know, how many hundreds of years, Kat?
It was 1885. The house was built in 1885,
yeah. So you know that that house is going to have some history in it. Mm-hmm. And somebody who delved into the past and historical things to capture in other stories that I've written about cowboys and Indians, you know, you just know that there's more on this planet than we always want to give credit for. And it sometimes manifests its way in its ways with little sounds in your house or doors creeping or dreams that you have. But definitely I felt a vibe in that house. I wasn't as connected right away, but as you work in the house, you can't, like I said, feel but know that there's these stories, especially when Kat starts telling you her sides on them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about some of the stuff that's influenced your belief system. You say that you have had a history of what you would qualify as paranormal experiences. Can you share any of those specific experiences with us? Because I would love to see if Pamela gets any read on them. You want to dig up any of that past?
There was a house that I used to live in with my mother and my stepfather. And my stepfather, I adored. He was a doctor in Washington, D.C., also had Native American background, but we lived in Washington, D.C., in the South, and there was an attic that was above my mother's bathroom that, for the longest time, we would hear things in it, and you wanted to attribute it to maybe a raccoon or a squirrel or something like that, but oftentimes, you just knew that that wasn't what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes there'd be a chair that was missing, or oftentimes there'd be a glance or a glimpse of characters in your space. But I've had that all my life, ever since I was two. You know, kind of go, you know, when I've had readings by Native American Indians, you know, they're always telling me that there's these past lives. And my sister did a past life regression on me. Mm-hmm. So when you sort of have those feelings too, I sort of feel that there's so much in this universe that's unexplained. I mean, unexplained that that's all part of it, isn't it?
Yeah. So what did you with the thing in the attic upstairs? You're saying a chair actually went missing.
Well, there was a chair that was dragged across.
Oh, dragged across
the top, and sometimes the window thing the latch would open up. I would always attribute it to this poltergeist that was in this house.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother's house, the same thing. She lived in a place in D.C. You had some spirit that at some point passed away or passed away nearby. We always felt that there was something that was watching over us. Or I think that's also tied in with your religion as you're growing up as a child, when you feel certain vibes and certain things that go on.
Sherry, can I ask you a quick question? Did you ever feel the presence of a small child with you in that house, in your uncle? Was it uncle? I couldn't hear.
Oh, no, it was my stepfather's house.
Stepfather's house.
I don't remember it ever being a small child.
Yeah, because I see a small child running around that house. The spirit of a small child running around that house.
At the house in Washington. That makes sense. That makes complete sense.
It's almost like...
it was playful. It was never... there was never any moment when I was growing up, because I was there from 9 years old.
Yeah.
Until, you know, I went away to boarding school at 12. And then I would always come back at that house. And there was, you know, and you always went, uh-oh, is that poltergeist again? And it was always a playful thing. There was never any evil feeling to it. There was never any, you know, dark side. It always was just fun. And I often sort of, and I had a play with, played, you know, character when I was 2.5 years old that was called Sugar Lump, and it was a winged sort of donkey horse. And, you know, it sort of always felt like it transferred that way into that character for me when I was in that house.
Hmm.
And never felt that. And I, by the way, my mother would always attribute it to that too. And my older sister did too. And it didn't seem to be anybody sort of teasing anybody. We'd always kind of blame it on that thing. So.
And you know what? It's funny because I saw a small child there in that house, but I also saw a guy that looks very, not minor, but the people that first settled there, you know, what do they call that? You know, explored.
Prospector?
Yeah, like a prospector. Mm-hmm. And because he keeps showing me around that house, and he's showing me like a pick,
mm-hmm.
like a pick and a horse and a buggy. And it was like one of the first settlers. He was one of the first settlers of that area.
Oh, interesting.
It's like he's not, I don't think he was necessarily attached to the house, but honestly, you guys made him feel safe to be attached to that house.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he was there, because he didn't feel, no one there made him feel unwanted. So he hung around.
And he and the child, do you see them as being connected
yes.
in any way?
Yes, absolutely.
They were connected in life or an afterlife
yes.
or both?
No, in life, yeah. I think, and I could be wrong, because the feeling I get in my gut is that child froze to death. Like it was, it died in that area. Mm-hmm. So, and I think buried.
Froze to death?
Yeah, and I think their bodies were buried in that area. Because I don't see it as their house.
Mm-hmm.
There's no ownership of the house, but I feel they felt safe there to hang out there, and nobody had sent them away or anything, so they wanted to hang out. They hadn't crossed over.
Now, are you talking about my house, or are you talking about the house that I'm talking about in Washington, D.C.?
The one in Washington, yeah.
I see, okay. Because that's Washington. Yeah, all right. I'm sure it got cold there.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
You got some action in your house now you want to talk about? Nothing?
It follows you around, though,
you know,
doesn't it?
I'm trying to tap into my Native American ancestors. Those are the ones I'm really trying to track down. Because
mm-hmm.
now I've heard Iroquois, and I'm going, all right, well, where would those have been?
The Native American?
Speak to me the most often, yeah.
Have you tapped? Have you said that you've done past life regressions? Have you tapped into the Native American culture through the past life regressions?
Not that I can.
I just got something.
Oh, Pamela got something. What you got?
Oh, I get it. Okay, so now I know why the man and his child hung around you. It was there at a time when there were a lot of Native Americans there, and because that spirit kept saying to me, "Oh, I relate to them." He wasn't Native American, but he was showing me where there were a lot of Native Americans around, and I'm talking early mm-hmm. settlers, you know, like, hello, it's Thanksgiving, the original Thanksgiving, pilgrims, mm-hmm. that's the word I was mm-hmm. looking for. And they were so close to the Native American spirit, and they all just worked together so well. And so because of who you are, that's why you're the reason they were around. Mm-hmm. And that why they felt safe, because of that Native American energy that you have, of the history of Native American energy. I mean, do you have Native American blood in you now?
I should. My mother's mother was Native American, and she was Iroquois. My great grandmother was Iroquois on my mother's side.
I know this is going to sound like really
Cherokee. There was Cherokee on my grandfather's side, and this is on my mother's side.
So the answer is yes. You have a lot. So I know this.
Yeah,
is
but try and get them to acknowledge it when you're reading. Need them.
So do you ever? I know it sounds funny, but this is what they're telling me. Do you ever just suddenly feel like you're hearing drums or chanting?
Hearing drones?
Yeah. Because
drums. Oh, all the time.
Yeah, and they're not really there, right? I mean,
well,
you don't hear anything.
They are as far as I'm concerned. But
yeah. Oh no, they are. They're really there.
Except maybe the dogs too.
Yeah, because when you said you were trying to tap into it, they said tell her to tap into the drums that she hears, and that it. That will start resonating more and more and more with your soul, and that will be how you connect and how they connect with you. And I also feel like sometimes they do chanting and you're also hearing that. Do you recognize that you hear chanting?
Sure, all the time.
And don't you feel like dancing sometimes?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's how you, honey, you already are tapped in. It's just, yeah, you don't have to do anything. You're already doing it. Because they said, oh my God, she dances. She hears the chanting. She hears the drums. How much more tapped in does she want to be? You're already tapped in. That's fantastic.
That's very funny.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what more you want.
Yeah, how much, what is there anything in particular that you're hoping to gain in that sense of connectivity and growth with this, Sherry? Is there something you can articulate?
Yeah, my next step is, how do you clean the house?
How to clean the house.
Oh. I can help you energetically, but I can't help you physically. I'm sorry. I don't even clean my own, so.
You want your Native American spirit guides to show up as your, like, weekly house?
Your maid.
Is that what we're going for? I don't know.
Yes. Now I need to stake my territory.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Anyway. Well, you know, working with Kat is always a fun ride, and she clearly has an energy with that house. And you feel it when you walk in. It was like I said, you know, you feel it.
You really related to that character.
Well, one of the things that I loved about Sherry playing that role is when you're playing a character that's essentially a psychic who has, you know, what aren't conventional beliefs in terms of what we consider traditional conventional beliefs in this realm, in this dimension, I think it's very easy for someone to come up with this half-cocked wackadoo character that really doesn't pay respect to the Pamela Beatty's of the world. And I really appreciated Sherry's approach to the character, which is exactly what I wanted, that had her be very grounded, despite, you know, what the surrounding character's view may have been of her and her beliefs, that she remained completely grounded and authentic to them.
Yeah, she really did that very well. I'm talking like you're not here. You did that really well. So cool.
Thank you.
So thank you. Well, stay tuned because Sherry comes back in some very interesting ways in the continuing series, The Passage. Sherry, where can we find you online? Where can you be followed? Where can people tap into you?
That's a really good, interesting question because we're just setting up all that stuff right now. Right now, there's Sherry Belafonte. I have the Sherry Belafonte Facebook. And I just got this media account phone today. This is the first day I'm sitting on to it. So right now, you have to find me through Kathleen Davison. I'll be able to like send out the blast of where the next place. But
well, then follow her on Facebook, Sherry Belafonte. Follow her on Facebook. Yep. And you tweeting it all, Sherry?
That's going to be set up today.
Okay, so join her Twitterverse.
Plug it in, charge it up.
You can be one of her first loyal followers. And we'll post on the Primrose Lane page her handle when she gets it all up and going. So thank you so much for joining us today, Sherry. We really appreciate
it. Thanks, ladies. And thanks for letting me hear my big tap in.
Absolutely.
great news.
And thank you, Pamela, and thank you to our listeners. And Pamela, really quick, remind them, where can we find you?
TheHollywoodSage.com.
Thank you. Tune in next week to the Primrose Lane podcast. Thank you.